At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At about 2:20, Polo Asensio from the Spanish language broadcast for the Cardinals will be with us at 2:30. Our pal Janelle Brimmer will be with us at 3. And right now we have our friend Rich Orris from Mosby Building Arts. Good to see you again. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good to see you, Dave.
Thanks for taking me on the tour the other day. That really was. I love seeing people do things that I can't do. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know, I can't do what you do at all, not a lick. My dad was a union carpenter with no patience. So it was one of those hold the board and then GD, MF were flying within seconds because I wouldn't, I would float away somewhere else. So I don't know how to do anything. So it's just so cool to watch you guys do that.
Yeah, no, it's cool for me a lot, too, with the size of Mosby Building Arts and everything that we do to now being in the upfront sales position and doing the upfront meetings and helping people on the front end for so long now. But watching the field, when I go, like I stepped into our old warehouse in our office and we've been constructing that and turning it into a training facility. I stepped in there out of a meeting to take a phone call. And I'm looking around going, oh, wow, I see the training. I see the saw, and they got a board and a camera and chairs around tables. And I'm going, oh, this is what we dreamed of 24 years ago. And getting to see it is
that's cool.
Totally cool.
So what advice would you give a friend who said, we're going to reach out, pretend you don't exist. We're reaching out to Glover Incorporated to do a new kitchen or to do a man cave or something. What do you wish people understood when you have your initial meeting with them? Things they should be asking that they typically don't. Things they should be concerned about that they're typically not.
So, yeah, that's a great question. Because probably the biggest thing that we kind of do differently at Mosby that a lot of clients don't think about, or they think some things are just standard for the industry. So I would really guide them towards not just who are you with now, but who does the work? Who's going to actually be there? Because between general contracting and even companies that say design build, but they really, they're subcontracting out 80% or more of what they're building. So we're kind of the reverse end of that. Excuse me. We've got our own guys and our own employees probably building 80% of a project. Mm-hmm. And so we're licensed electricians. We're licensed plumbers. We have a painting division. We have tile people. We have a guy in charge of our flooring division. So we handle so much of the remodel that there's bigger outside things that become the trade partners that we work with often and for years, but we're performing, and that just, it just keeps everything kind of together, breaks up the disconnect between architect and the company and then all the subcontractors trying to get it done, and you can control the schedule and the people and
yeah. Makes
everything
sense.
That happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're going to talk a bit about kitchens today. When I think of kitchen remodeling, I just think of when I have bought and sold a home. And the realtors will say, if you're going to do something, do it to the kitchen because you get great return on investment. It's sort of the cliche that's the heart of the home. I know we eat around the island, right? I mean, like, I think most people live their life kind of similarly.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. And on a personal level, one thing I'll never forget was when, so the home we're in now, I remodeled our basement because I can do that,
sure.
Right? And I put this awesome bar down there. And I've had a few Super Bowl parties and stuff, but the first party we had in this home, once that basement was done and that bar was done, was a New Year's Eve party with a bunch of our friends. And all the children, all the kids ended up downstairs, of course, where the bar is, and all the parents never left the kitchen.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm going, all right, so yeah, maybe I should have been remodeling the kitchen.
It's hard to get people away from that island, I'm telling you.
It is.
They find a stool, they pop a squat, and they're there.
Yeah, and the cool thing right now with Mosby is we have a promotion going right now that includes kitchens, and there's a few other items in that with some fireplaces, siding, and windows that is 5% off of a kitchen project or any of those types of projects. And you just got to call in and set up your appointment before the end of this month, August 31st, and then kind of follow the rules. You can go to our website at callmosby.com to see. It'll be the first thing pops up, I promise. And you'll see, you can look at all the details on it and everything. But it's a good path to starting that kitchen project and getting your thoughts on how to do it and how to handle it. But really, in the greatest part of doing that for us that people don't even, a lot of people might not even really understand is, it is the heart of the home. It is the family. So when they say, what's the best thing that happens when you've finished a kitchen for someone or when you've gotten a project like that done? And just this morning, we were on a project where we were shooting photos and videos and stuff at the end of it. It's a big outdoor kitchen. She did this big outdoor oasis. But to listen to this client talk about her family and the pool party they had, where they cooked and the chip bowl's this big because there's so many people, and just the enjoyment that you bring, it's really, that's the return on investment. It is the best spot. It's great financially. It's great for all that to do that in the kitchen, but it really, the peace of mind, the fun, the happiness, the smiles, you can see it in their eyes, how much they just love it and enjoy it. And what everybody does stuff with their families in the kitchen too, cooking, prepping, doing. It is the best room to do for that type of satisfaction.
Yeah. So if someone has not done a remodel anything in 20 years, how do you advise them to get ready for the cost? If they don't know whether it's $8,000 or $80,000, like, how do you get an idea?
Yeah, so the first thing that we would do, and we're very good at including investment levels through the whole process, because they can change, and it's what you pick, and it's how we design things, and it can be very, very hard to really say that. But in a first meeting, like when I first show up at someone's house, well, I will always do a budgeting exercise to say, we've done a lot of kitchens and this size, this magnitude, the thing, you got to get information, the things you're talking about and you want, you're probably going to be X to Y. And just to give them some sort of direction. But our design process is really built on helping that, trying to hold down towards your budget and trying to really show you what you can get. So the first phase of designing a kitchen, you might see two or three different complete kitchen setups, layouts. Sometimes we'll show it with just, I know you wanted all these high-end appliances, but if you use this mid-grade stuff, you might be here. You know, it's kind of the beer budget and the wine.
Champagne taste, yeah.
Yeah, the champagne taste. Let's show you the beer budget kitchen. You may not want it. You may go, no, but at least you know where you could be.
Yeah.
And you can work from there. So, and that's.
And then if you do the beer budget refrigerator, maybe you can do the Italian marble island.
Exactly. Exactly. And we can mix that up and really try and guide towards where they want to be and where they want to go, or at least show them where they're splurging. And then they can really know what it is and appreciate it. And truly understand this is here, this is there, and it can spread wildly. So I mean, just imagine getting to see your project three different ways on a big screen in 3D renderings, but also knowing what that costs. That's where the industry misses. you know, an architect comes out and they go, oh, yeah, you can build this room addition and put the pool back here. And they do all these plans and they get it ready for permitting. And then the client brings out three people like me and finds out the cheapest one is $450,000 and the most expensive is $650,000. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I never planned on spending more than $300,000. Wait a minute. And they never do it.
Yeah. Last question. What are some of the things available in kitchens now that you personally, when you're putting them, you go like, this is just cool as hell. I just love this. We couldn't do this 20 years ago, or we didn't used to do this. Now these are great.
Just gosh. Things were so simpler 20 years ago, but there is so much new technology. That's probably one of my favorites is the technology of like under cabinet lighting, where the outlets are up with the under cabinet lighting so you don't have to see them in your backsplash, because then you use your backsplash as a textured, really cool feature. And who wants an outlet cutting right through? Or you do glass tile that's hard to cut an outlet through. And so countertop pop-up outlets on islands just pop right out of the countertop. I mean, there's so many features with that, and faucets and touch faucets and wave faucets, and there's just so much great technology now that it's absolutely amazing, and it's really cool to see a lot of this stuff go in.
What is the best website to get you guys?
That would be callmosby.com. It's just like a kind of like a phone call, callmosby. Or you could just call us at 314-909-1800, talk to one of our client services representatives and get stuff figured out and started for you.
I dig your show on the weekends.
Hey, I can't wait to have you on. We're looking at scheduling that.
I'll give some terrible advice.
It'll be great. Yeah, it'll be a ton of fun. But yeah, we'll plan that too. So
that is Rich Orris from Mosby Building Arts. Thanks, Rich.
Hey, thank you.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities. You said I'll throw
myself away. Welcome back, guys. DG, SM, Cable X. Coming up at 2:30, we have Polo from the Spanish-speaking St. Louis Cardinals broadcast. Right now, we have attorney Brad Young, who's with us every Thursday afternoon and usually many other days besides that. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
So let's start out with sort of big news. It's not fomented yet, not fully baked, but there is going to be some sort of a challenge to gay marriage. Can you walk us through what that is and is not?
Sure. Everyone might or may not remember, there was a woman named Kim Davis. She was a former Kentucky County clerk who just refused to issue a marriage license to a gay couple. That went up. There was a whole bunch of cases that were consolidated at the Supreme Court level, but it came down to something called Obergefell versus Hodges. And in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that gay marriage was legal. And so now, though, she was ordered as part of the underlying case, Kim Davis was, to pay some of the costs and penalties as a result of her refusal to issue the marriage license. And so she's now filed an appeal at the end of July of this order to file to pay some fees and expenses. Mm-hmm. So she's filed an appeal of that. She wants this to go back up to the Supreme Court and ask the Supreme Court to revisit the Obergefell decision. We have a different Supreme Court makeup now than we did in 2015, and her goal is to try to get the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse its opinion in 2015 that legalized gay marriage.
So, Brad, what are the possible reasons that the current Supreme Court would say yes to that?
Well, the only reasons that they would is if some of the existing justices who are new, who didn't get a chance to weigh in on that issue, it might come out differently. I was looking at the breakdown of the Obergefell decision, and there were justices who dissented. Justice Roberts dissented. Scalia dissented. He's, of course, deceased. And you've got Thomas and Alito that are still on the court. But now you have you also have Amy Coney Barrett on the court as well. And so if you get a different makeup of the court, the feelings might be, hey, let's revisit this and we could take this in a new direction.
So it's just that simple, huh? I mean, do they even couch it in terms of, well, in the interest of the federal system, blah, blah, or do they just go like, yeah, let's take another shot at this thing?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I don't really see Supreme Court justices saying, hey, let's take another shot at this thing. You know, we kind of couch them in black robes and speaking in words we don't understand. But the bottom line is, even though I think this is certainly what this county clerk from Kentucky, Kim Davis, wants to do, I don't see the Supreme Court doing this. I don't see any big movement to change. Plus, even if you look at some of the dissenting justices in that opinion from 2015, a lot of them are pretty much free choice advocates. Mm-hmm. And this kind of goes against that if you want to get that overturned. So, yeah, it's getting a lot of publicity, Dave, that she's filing this appeal. But frankly, I really don't see it going anywhere.
Okay, very good. Automated license plate readers are watching you as we speak.
Well, this, I you know, one of the things that I've always been a big advocate of, speaking of freedom, like we just talked about, is freedom from government intrusion. And this raises an interesting issue because many, many police departments, including many right here in the St. Louis area, use what's called license plate readers. And unlike red light cameras that ostensibly, if you run through a red light and a red light camera gets you over in Illinois, you've at least broken some type of law, and then they look into it. But with license plate readers, 99.9% of the license plates that are read and analyzed, those people haven't done any crimes. Mm-hmm. And so to me, and there's a fourth and even perhaps even a Fifth Amendment issue with these types of readers, because you're essentially investigating law-abiding citizens to see if they've done anything wrong, as opposed to reacting once there's evidence that someone has done something wrong. It may seem like an esoterical difference, but I look for more of these challenges coming because you're, in essence, investigating law-abiding citizens.
So, Brad, do you know how this works? I mean, are there all these machines out there on telephone poles and there's a group of people in Jefferson City watching them? Or how does it actually facilitate all this?
Well, the individual police departments put them up. And if you've gone through any intersection and you see a camera there,
yeah,
a lot of those cameras are left over from the days when red light cameras were legal in Missouri.
Yeah.
But a lot of those cameras can be repurposed to being license plate readers. Now, one of the things that always irks me is when I see someone with a temp tag that's 3 years old, I'm like, dude, you know, just come on, pay your taxes, get your license plate. Don't be driving on that. But yet again, I got pulled over. I bought a new car once and I was pulled over within 24 hours because my license plate didn't match my car.
Right.
And at that point, yeah, I was doing something wrong, but I'm like, if you could catch me that fast, why can't you catch all these yahoos who are driving on expired temp tags? Mm-hmm. But on this camera that's being used right now in Missouri and in the greater St. Louis area, someone, and I even talked to an attorney who's considering this, is filing a class action lawsuit alleging that everyone who's ever driven past one of these readers has been victimized by being investigated when they haven't done anything wrong. And I look for a class action lawsuit on that probably in the very near future.
I have a question related to this.
Yeah.
So is the difference that this is a government agency? Because we have surveillance cameras, you have Ring cams, you've got businesses that have them outside there. And those things aren't being proactively used to chase people down. And from what I saw, I think Fox 2 had a story on this where they said that this is only the plan is this is only to track big things like missing persons, stolen vehicles. They're not using it to like hand out traffic tickets and things along those lines. So what is that the difference that, you know, if it's a police department or a county or a city, that it's a government agency doing it rather than a private business?
100% Wheels, you nailed it. But keep in mind, if you go over into Illinois has something called the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act. And under that law, even private companies are restricted in how they can use cameras. private businesses are restricted and they have to provide warnings and give you an opportunity to opt out and all of these things. And lots of companies get sued in Illinois for violation of this Biometric Information Privacy Act. But at least for here in Missouri, yes, it's the fact that the government's doing it. And if the government's doing it, it could be an invasion on your privacy.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Ricky Horton taking some time off this week. So Tuesday we got to talk to Scott Terry. Today we're talking to Polo Cincio. I've met Polo a couple of times. Kevin Wheeler knows him very well. I can tell you this, that when I do my little charity things where I auction myself off and I take people down on the field, I take them up to the broadcast booths, it is a giant bonus if you can get them into the Spanish-speaking broadcast booth, because Polo and Benji are tremendous guys. They're always up. They're always having a good time. They're just like happiness came alive. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Polo, you are never, I've never seen you unhappy, my friend. You're always a happy dude.
I am a bundle of joy everywhere I go, Kevin and Dave. If you look up in the calendar, bundle of joy, there is a picture of me in Tijuana, Mexico when I was a little baby. That was me.
That goes for Benji, too, by the way. I mean, really, I don't speak fluently. I understand a little Spanish. I love your guys' calls because it takes me back to my time in Miami, and I really enjoy the energy you guys bring. Same thing with John and Rick. Obviously, I think the Cardinals have one of the best groups of broadcasters, TV and radio, in all of Major League Baseball. You guys have so much fun, and it's just a genuine passion for what you're seeing and for the guys that are down on the field, because I know you guys know those guys pretty well.
You know, I am going to go down the middle here and be completely honest. Like, for real, I'm not even trying to be funny right now or a bundle of joy. But I do agree with you. I think that what we have here in St. Louis as a team, as a broadcast team with John, with Ricky, with Claves, with Chip, with Brad, with who like Sweeney, like yeah. Anybody who is in there, with Benji, myself, it is up there. It is up there in the league, and I'm not afraid to say this because I, you know, if you're afraid to say something when you are working on radio, then you are not doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like you need to speak your mind. That's why you are who you are. If you are at the top of the food chain or the pyramid or whatever, it's because you speak your mind and you speak your truth. Sometimes that truth is not everybody's truth, but at least I open, and you said, you guys said it, and thank you for those kind words. When you come into the booth, when you see me, and you know, I'm not going to speak about Benji because he's not here, but you got the picture. You know, he is the guy you said he is. But when you see me on the field and you see me smiling and saying hi to people and giving away even a piece of gum or a piece of haichu or something from the dugout, and kids love that little, you know, that interaction of 30 seconds. And also, sometimes people don't know who I am because I don't expect people that know who I am, especially if you don't speak Spanish and you don't listen to the Spanish broadcast. But once I tell them who I am and I give them that little piece of Busch Stadium, yeah, they're happy, man. And what is there not to like about baseball, about Cardinals baseball, about Busch Stadium, about this weather? I know the team, you know, it's playing 500 baseball, but I really don't let that affect me. Like, once the game ends, the game ends for me, because if not, imagine, you know, I sometimes think about the broadcasters for teams like the Rockies. Obviously, yesterday, they were pretty happy because they took home the series. But I think about them like, wow, God bless your soul and your heart, because to see that day in, day out for so many years, you really are earning every single penny you are making. And with us here in St. Louis, we've been spoiled, even though this is the 10th season Benji and I do baseball. And the last 2-3 years, you know, it's not been great baseball. But at the same time, it's been a lot better than a lot of other teams have had it for a few years. And yes, I'm talking to you, Pittsburgh Pirates. It's one of those things that we love what we do. We enjoy it. And like Kevin said, and a lot of people have said that to me, like, you know, I don't understand Spanish, but I do listen to your broadcast because of the energy, the passion, you telling jokes that I don't even know what they mean, but Benji starts laughing. And that's what it's about. We are entertainers. We're not, this is not science. We're not doctors. We're not a policeman. We're not engineers. We are entertainers. And if you are in this business and you are not up to entertain people, then you are in the wrong business and you should be doing something else.
So we get through this a lot, Benji. We talk about it every day here, whether it's with Ollie on the Gas House Gang or just the rest of us when we roll through Sports Open Line and Red Bird Rush Hour, all those things. I mean, well, obviously, we spend a lot of time talking cards. And as you mentioned, 500 tends to feel weird, right? Because at times you look really good, and at times you lose series to teams like the Rockies, and it's kind of a weird back and forth. But this season was positioned, and we've talked about it since November, as kind of that, I hate the term runway now, but runway, retool, whatever you want to call it. It was kind of an evaluation year for a lot of players. And some evaluations are still out, but some of the returns have been really helpful. And I think maybe the best guy we've learned the most about is probably Ivan Herrera, who we've now seen. There's no question about the bat anymore. We know that guy can be a part of what you're doing.
No, that guy, when you talk to him, even when he's been hurt a lot this season, there's a word he uses, galleta. You know what galleta means, Kevin?
Mm-mm, I don't.
It means cookie. It's like, vamos a dar galleta. Like, he is going to give away cookies. He is just going to go to bat, and he's going to give you some cookies for you to enjoy, meaning he is going to destroy that baseball. He swings with a passion. He swings with conviction. And he has turned into a really good ball player. Heck, now he's an outfielder too. You know, go figure that much. Yeah. It's like he is a guy that I will follow. I traded for him in my fantasy league. Yeah. It's a free fantasy league. I don't do betting, you know, because it's not allowed. But for people who work in baseball, but it's something I traded for him just because I enjoy him so much. Like, he is a guy that. If the marketing team puts something behind him, he can be the guy selling tickets. He can be the guy selling jerseys, and he will be. He will be. Just give him a chance to have a full season of healthy baseball, and he can be the guy who hits 30 home runs easy and gives you 90 to 100 RBIs very easy. Now, how is he going to do it? He needs to stay healthy. He's going to DH. He's going to play the outfield. Is he going to go back to being a catcher? We don't know yet. But like Kevin said, this season was the runway season. Let's give a chance to the kids to play. And at times, those kids made us dream, made us think, this is happening. This could happen. But the funny thing about baseball is when we were hot, also were the Cubs,
yeah.
Also were the Brewers.
Yeah.
Then now that we're cold, the Cubs are cold, we are cold, the Brewers... You know, the Brewers. They don't even know. As they say, the power of friendship is helping them win. So hopefully our guys today during their off day, they're having a kumbaya somewhere, you know, having a bonfire and telling stories and eating s'mores. Because if that's what, you know, if that's all it takes to have a winning baseball, let's all be friends and you know, like, tell each other a lot.
You know, Paul, you're talking about Herrera and the ferocity of his swing. You know who my favorite swing on the club is and my favorite
Yo, El Pozo.
Pozo. I love that guy.
I should have said, who is Yoel Pozo for 200?
Yeah, before the year, nobody would have known.
No.
I mean, he's a guy that has a great track record as a hitter in the minors, but just kind of was just out there floating around, and the Cardinals made a really wise move in picking him up, and I know we've seen a little bit more of him lately. I hope that continues, man. He's just fun.
He is one of those guys, and I remember the day, and I will never forget the day I met Yoel Pozo. It was in spring training. The guy showed up. He had no idea where he was. He was just signed out of like a free agency. I believe the Braves signed him for a day, and then they let him go, and he was a free agent. One thing that people don't know, or maybe you do, the Cardinals have been on Pozo for years. Like, when he was a young kid in Venezuela, the Cardinals had an eye on him. I know this for a fact. When I met Yoel Pozo, Moises Rodriguez, who is part of the scouting team for the Cardinals, was with me, and we were talking, and he told him, hey, We've been looking at you for years. Then you go to Texas. Then you go to Oakland. Then Oakland lets you go. Then you go to Atlanta. Now you are here. But when he showed up for spring training, and you guys, I think you guys been to spring training, and if not, well, there's like 10 or 12 catchers in the big league camp you have 20 pitchers, and every single pitcher needs to do something, so you need a lot of catchers. So he was one of those guys. He was one of the guys that they invited to basically be a bullpen guy during spring training. Next thing you know, he gets into games. Next thing you know, he's hitting, and then he sticks with the team. He goes to AAA. He does what he does. Ivan Herrera, going back to Ivan, he gets hurt, and who gets the chance? Not Jimmy Crooks, not Leonardo Bernal, but Joel Pozo, and he has taken advantage of that chance. Not only with the way he catches, the way he throws, the way he swings, the way he hits, and his attitude. His attitude of always trying to learn, always chasing people, always talking to people. And last weekend, when Yadier Molina came back to St. Louis for a couple of days, Joel Pozo was basically his shadow. Oh. Mm-hmm. Wherever Yadier went, Joel Pozo went. And he, I can tell you, he enjoys his time. He enjoyed talking to Yadier. And that's a guy that I want to see here. Hopefully next season, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next season. But hopefully, if there's a chance for him to stick around, I really want to see him stick around. If it's to start or if it's to back up somebody, I really want Joel Pozo on my team.
Excellent. Polo, it's always great to talk to you. Always fun, always entertaining. We thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. See you at the stadium. Don't forget, La Tremenda 880 this weekend. The Yankees are coming to town.
Good times.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. If you are wondering where the stream just isn't working. When Ronge and Ackerman sign off of Gas House Gang, we have about 4 minutes to turn everything around. So it's sort of controlled chaos if you've ever watched it happen on the camera. And today it just wouldn't cooperate. So we'll be back up hopefully tomorrow. Throwback Thursday?
Yes. A lot of stuff happened throwing it back on August 14th. Like 90 years ago in 1935, FDR signed the Social Security Act into law, creating unemployment insurance and pension plans for the elderly. So 90 years ago.
Isn't it amazing that that just wasn't a thing?
Yes.
You're just SOL.
Basically, yeah. Or if your family could take you in, obviously. But
80 years ago in 1945, World War II ended with Japan's surrender. 72 years ago, this is the one I think you guys are going to like, 1953, David Mullaney Sr. noticed his son was having a difficult time playing baseball because he was always breaking windows or losing the baseballs on the school roof. He was also having trouble throwing a curveball. So he took a round-shaped perfume carton and cut slots into both halves. When he threw the new ball, it curved. His amazing new invention was called the wiffle ball.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Very cool.
Man, that was such a great invention.
Yes.
And those things, you think hitting a big league pitcher is hard, man. Try hitting against somebody throwing a wiffle ball that could go literally any direction, including up.
What if you don't think it's hard?
Well, then you're crazy.
Every guy, and I mean like girls and guys, because we like Stacy played with us too. Every person my age can map out their wiffle ball court.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was at Daryl Engleton's house, and if you hit it on this eve, it was a triple. If you hit it over that, it was a home run. It was just, I loved it.
Yep. Almost every day as a kid in the summertime when no school, almost every day.
Yeah.
40 years ago in 1985, Michael Jackson bought the publishing rights to most of the Beatles' music catalog.
Still can't believe that happened. Paul McCartney is famously tight, and he just didn't want to pay for it. But he just bitched about it ever since. So
well, don't be tight.
Mm-hmm.
25 years ago in 2000, riot police fired pepper spray and rubber bullets to clear a crowd of 9,000 people at a Free Rage Against the Machine concert outside the DNC in L.A.
Mm.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did, though. I'm not questioning it.
No, it did. It did.
22 years ago in 2003, 50 million people lost power in a blackout that hit the northeastern U.S. and part of Canada.
Hmm.
19 years ago in 2006, Bruno Kirby, who played Billy Crystal's friend in City Slickers and When Harry Met Sally, died of complications from leukemia. He was 57 years old.
I didn't know he died.
I don't remember him.
Oh, you do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me look.
He was in a million things.
All right, I'm going to look.
16 years ago in 2009, District 9 was released.
Oh.
Great movie.
Yeah, that is really good.
Feels like it's been out longer than that for some
Agreed.
Reason.
Super sad.
Oh, I know Bruno Kirby.
Sad. Yeah, he was in The Godfather.
Yeah.
10 years ago in 2015, Straight Outta Compton was released.
That is a great movie.
They did a good job.
I love that movie. I mean, obviously, they feature the music pretty heavily, but the actors did a great job. It's just a fascinating story. I mean, the way that all played out. Really, really good story. I got to watch that again.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. starred as his dad, Ice Cube. He looks just like his
dad.
Oh,
my God. Crazy. And has the mannerisms. The
yes.
Same, they have the exact same voice, like speaking voice. So, yeah, it
have
works great.
Have you seen
great.
The Cube's newest movie?
I've seen the trailer for it. I think
it
looks pretty terrible.
One of the worst movies ever made.
The War of the Worlds remake. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm watching it tomorrow.
I saw the trailer and I let the trailer play out. You know, when you're going, I think it's Netflix, right?
Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the trailer play and I'm like, yeah, let's see. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
And finally, 5 years ago in 2020, Ted Lasso premiered on Apple TV Plus.
I've never seen a minute of
I've
it.
I've never seen I don't think anyone on the show has. Have you ever watched it, Andrew?
I think I watched the first episode and I hated it, and
wow.
I was like, pass.
We are definitely in the minority.
Oh, yeah.
Most
yeah.
people,
yeah, yeah.
Most people love this show.
Mm-hmm.